Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you and welcome to another session that we're having right here on Can We Be Real? And tonight we're welcoming some of our special guests online, and you're listening to Reverend Carl White on Can We Be Real? We're excited tonight because we're going to be talking tonight about being true to the kingdom of God in you. That's what we're talking about, being true. I think the key to that phrase is being true. And welcome to Can We Be Real? And if you like to follow us online, you can always look at us right on blogtalkradio.com/help somebody. Or you can visit my website. The website is at helpsomebody.net. Or if you want to follow me on Twitter, and we'll send you out announcements, you can go to Twitter and just type in help somebody. And we have a special guest online with us tonight. Our special guest is Ifalade Tashia Asante. She's a good friend of mine. In fact, she's an award-winning poet. She's a journalist, a novelist, a filmmaker, TV producer, and a Yoruba Ifa priestess. Tashia is the author of 3 books, including The Sacred Door, A Spiritual Guide to Power Living, her debut novel, The Seer, Legacy of Stone and Spirit, and there's a forthcoming novel that's coming, The Bones Do Talk. She's a commentator on Fox News, actually on Good Day Colorado, with the Emmy Award-winning anchorwoman, Shaw Turner, and a regular on Rocky Mountain's PBS Colorado State of Mind. Tashia has made numerous appearances on TV and film, providing education on the issues that she's passionate about, including the women's rights and marriage equality and issues related to health and wellness in communities of color and consciousness. Tashia also co-starred on the Sci-Fi Channel hit reality TV show Mad Mad House, a show about the importance of cultural tolerance, which is aired to millions of homes across the globe. In the role of a journalist, Tashia has written and published over 700 articles, has interviewed some of the nation's most controversial figures. Well, hopefully she'll share some of those with us. Tashia also co-founded Your World TV Network with her partner, which features independent film documentaries and music videos, an original TV program. She's work as a media professional has earned her nominations for the Courage in Journalism Award from the International Media Women's Foundation for outstanding work in the field of journalism. Tashia is a recipient of African Americans Who Make a Difference Award from Urban Spectrum Media, the Audre Lorde Black Quill Award for creating positive images of African-American women in the media, and, not stopping there, the Kathleen Morris Award for Best Contemporary Fiction by a Woman of Color. Tashia is also given the UCLA Seed Scholarship Award for Outstanding Writing on Culture and the Arts by International Black Writers and Artists Organization. With a career spanning 2 decades with milestones in radio, TV, print journalism, and creative writing, filmmaking, and theater arts. My God, she's busy. Tashia is excited to share her journey as an activist, and she should be on the line with us. She's also a spiritual teacher. And please welcome me enjoying Ifalade, Tashia Asante. Tashia, are you with us? Hi, Tashia. Are you on the line? Okay, looks like we're having a few difficulties. Tashia, would you happen to be on the line? Let's see. How about this one? Are you on the line?
Yep. Hello? Hello?
I found you, huh?
Ah!
My God, it's to tell me who the names are. So we're gonna have to, one of these days we'll upgrade to those high-grade caller screen, caller ID boards, and we've got a few other people on the line. from calling from the 303 area code as well, so I was going through the callers, and I'm sure we'll get back to the callers to speak to them in just a moment, but I'm excited about you being here. It just reminds me of the wonderful time that when we met out there on the Empowerment Cruise on the high seas.
Wow, I say, yes.
Yes, it was a great time. So tell us, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. I'm actually immediately when we complete our interview, I'll be going on stage, breaking ground here in Louisville, Kentucky, doing my first poetry set at one of the local jazz clubs. So I'm really excited about that. But I'm even more excited about being on the show with you to talk about Christianity and Ifa and intersections and faith. And as you put it, being true to the God in you, you know, being true to who you are and what that really means. And I've just enjoyed our dialogues, Reverend Carl. You know, you must be an incredible reverend to have touched me the way that you did on the cruise with your ministry. And for me as a Yoruba and Ifa priestess to want to, you know, continue this walk with you, and you know, and that you have me reexamining my relationship with God in ways that I never thought I would. So I'm tremendously honored to be among the guests on your first few shows. And I know this show is just going to blow up across the country. So I'm glad to get in now.
Well, wonderful!
And,
Thank you so much. I tell you, it is a real walk of faith because so many times in my walk it has been exclusivity, and I don't think that that's what God is all about. And as an activist and a spiritual teacher, what are some of your greatest rewards, you would say?
Well, I think definitely number one is the people that you get to meet and work with, some of whom may be on the call with us tonight. I've met some incredible sisters and brothers along the way in my doing my work. And, you know, as a priestess in the Yoruba tradition, in the Ifa tradition, you know, I've seen so many people transform, so many people change their lives, literally through spirituality, through their relationship with God. And a lot of them who are on this show, who are listening into the show tonight, you know that, you know, my walk has taken many, many turns. I began my journey in the Christian faith, and I got saved, and, you know, I went through my journey with that, and I had some really challenging life experiences that took me off that path, and then I awakened to my walk in traditional African spirituality back in 1992 as I began to study the work of these great teachers and cultural educators and spiritual educators and historians. And then actually after I met you on a cruise of all places, you were there to support your brother, I began to learn more about my walk, the walk that I started, you know, as a very young child in church with my father, who was the pastor of a church.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and then, you know, you've been talking with me. I was just telling my partner that I had the honor and the privilege of speaking with you when, you know, we were talking about the vision for this show. And I said, now, we spoke for about 30 minutes, and about 28.5 of those minutes were spent reading the Bible. I said, and it was the most beautiful thing. You know, when I got off the phone, I felt very uplifted and affirmed. But that's what you do to people. So I'm going to shut up and let you ask the questions. But
I'm doing well. I'm glad to hear that, too. And it's good to hear that the ministry that God has given me is transcending religion and denominations and differences between people, because I think one of the keys to being true to the kingdom of God, which is the spirit of God in every living person, is to look beyond our divisions in a sense. And in the Yoruba, or excuse me, Yoruba,
like
Yoruba.
You're saying the word Yoruba.
I'm saying it wrong. Yoruba, yeah.
That's
Yoruba tradition, which is the African traditional religion, and,
yes.
And it's one of them, right? Because they've got many of them from.
That's correct.
Right. But in the essence of it, at the core, there's some similarities with all great religions of the world. And we were talking some of those similarities, believing in one God. You want to share some of your Yoruba traditions?
Absolutely. And I'll share some of the similarities. In the Yoruba tradition, we do believe in one God, which we call Olodumare, which is, you know, simply the language Yoruba for God. You know, Yoruba were actually a tribe in West Africa who founded the religion called Ifa. And so even though in the States, in the Americas, we call it the Yoruba tradition, the actual traditional religion or spiritual faith is called Ifa, I-F-A. And so it does have one God, and it does have sages and prophets, very much like Christianity. Like in the Bible, we know about Job, and we know about John, and the different apostles who walked with Christ. And in the Ifa tradition, we have what are called Orishas, who are very similar to apostles and sages. You know, the different, Orishas. And basically what it means, what it trans, the definition of it is the enlightened deity of the head. So, the, you know, these were people like Gandhi. They were people like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, who literally walked the planet trying to overcome their lower base nature, their challenges in life, you know, whatever those challenges were, whether it was addiction, whether it was codependency, whether it was, you know, sex or whatever. So just like, you know, how we have the apostles that dealt with sin every day and trying to walk their walk of faith, we had these beings called, you know, these deities called Orishas. And so what happened for them was that they lived their life in a way that they became so enlightened that they were given the title of Orishas. So, you know, but they were, these are actual ancestors. I mean, these deities can be traced 6,000 years back in African history, just like, you know, we look at the prophets of the Christian faith. Some of the other similarities are the way that we worship, which to me, this is the most amazing thing about the Orisha tradition in Christianity, because we know that when the when our enslavers got to the continent of Africa, anyone who has opened just a few history books knows that, that African people had a spirituality, you know, when the enslavers got there. You know, when the white folks got to Africa, there were folk, you know, practicing spirituality there. And it was not, and it was not Christianity. You know, there was many different African spiritual faiths. It wasn't demon worship. It wasn't devil worship. It wasn't none of the stuff that our enslavers led us to believe when they were enslaving us. However, and I have, and I know we're gonna probably talk about this in the at the further into the show, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but I want to tell you a little bit more about Ifa. But some of the similarities: when you become a priest or priestess in the Ifa tradition, in the Yoruba Ifa tradition, one of the things that happens that I can talk about publicly is that you are taken to a body of water. And so, and so when we think about
baptism
in Christianity, it's the baptism.
The
when we think about,
water.
It's like, where do we get that idea from?
The life giver, without a doubt.
As Christians, you know, we go to the water. He used to take you to the river, down to the river. Down by the riverside. Why do we know to do that? What in our spirits, in our DNA, and I believe that we were drawing on, you know, that, that ancient memory that's in our DNA, that's encoded in our DNA, that we knew that a that water in its natural body was a holy place, and we knew to go there. So, you know, even wearing white, we know that, like, on the fourth Sunday, when all the mothers come in, you know, the mothers wear that white. Where do we get that from? Who told us to do that? And so, so, again, we look at one of the pieces that we have pulled, again, because if you go to Africa, if you go to Benin, if you go to Haiti, you go to many of the African continents, you see folk wearing white for ceremony, for celebration, for ritual. And so, again, you know, and even when you see somebody get the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and they, and you'll often see them stand in that circle, and they will start speaking in tongues.
Yes.
And, you know, those who have danced on both sides and who have ventured to experience some form of African spirituality, you will see this. And you will go, and it, that's why it feels familiar to us when we go to church.
Exactly.
I believe, you know what I'm saying? We go to church,
yes.
We go, oh, okay, I know about that.
Yeah,
you know?
One of the movies that was really instrumental in me learning about African traditional religion was the movie Sankofa.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very powerful movie. For those of you listening, if you haven't seen it, it is necessary learning material. Now, I just want to read a little from one of my professors. He wrote a book. And this book, if you're on the web, you can actually see advertising of it. It's from Dr. Thomas Thangaraj. And Dr. Thangaraj is actually, like his name, he's from India. But he's actually a Christian that grew up in a mainly Hindu country. And the name of his book is Relating to People of Other Religions. He really directs it towards Christians because Christians in many senses, when I grew up in Christianity, they would say, you know, it was everybody who didn't confess Christ, they were all going to go to Hades, to Inferno, to burn forever. And being that I grew up in Seattle, it was like, well, you know, I got friends that are Buddhists, I got friends that are Hindus, I got friends that are Muslims, you know, I got friends that chant, you know, and that's during that time, they even had, you know, and these are my friends. And I'm like, well, God, you know, how in the world are all these people going to go and just be totally destroyed because they haven't confessed Christ? And everything I read about Jesus is that he was good. And so here is some of Dr. Thangaraj's observations that really helped me as far as learning. And now this is a prayer, and this is a prayer that literally is a prayer from the Quran. And if you just substitute the name, which he did on an occasion, he said he replaced the word Allah in this word in this prayer for God, since Allah is simply an Arabic word for God. And he used it as an opening prayer in a Christian gathering, and the Christians had no idea he was reading from the Quran. And if you can put any name that you have for God in this place, and it'll fit into this prayer. Just listen. It says, in the name of Allah, the gracious and the merciful, all praises belong to Allah, Lord of the world, the gracious, the merciful, master of the day, of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thee alone do we implore for help. Guide us in the right path, the path on whom thou hast bestowed thy blessings, those who have not incurred thy displeasure, and those who have not gone astray. And which, if you just put God in there, sure, it would fit in a Christian setting, or if you had put in the name for the Yoruba God, and what is that name again?
Olodumare.
Olodumare. Then you could have put that in there, and it would also fit as well. The other thing is that even with Jesus, where he talked about the kingdom of God, and this is from Luke 17:20, he says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, and neither shall they say, lo, I'm here or I'm there. It can't be announced, for the kingdom of God is within you. And the word you there is actually a plural, so it could be within you or among you. And it's amazing too, there's another scripture that is comes right out of the Bible where Dr. Thangaraj, he actually notes it in his book, and he says here, this is from Micah 4:4-5, and it says that they shall all sit under their own vines, under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God. But we
walk
in the name of the Lord our God forever and forever. And so it's amazing that there's so many similarities of people and religions. And we've got some callers on the line. In fact, we've got one caller from Denver on the line. Let's see if we can't bring the caller. Is there another caller on the line from Denver? Well, maybe they just want to listen and don't want to speak. But just tell us, how has the transition gone from being a traditional Christian into the Yoruba religion as far as being with your family and so forth?
Well, I think, you know, my family, because I always laugh, I was, can you hear me, Baba?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because my walk in the world was always one that was a little bit special and unique. As my mother would call it, I was her special child, her strange child, being I was a poet, and at one point I was a rap artist, and, you know, I was always just doing things that were what a lot of people, I guess, would consider out there. And so they weren't real shocked when I, you know, got into exploring traditional African spirituality and indigenous religion. And I was just always drawn to various types of spirituality as a child anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, I went on to become initiated into the traditional African religion. And my mother was like, okay, what is this now, baby? You know, she wanted to make sure I hadn't gotten into anything really crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mother was a Christian, you know, God rest her soul. My father, as you know, was a Christian minister. But
yeah.
My mom has sort of embraced a Christian path, a Christian walk that was very inclusive of people.
Yes.
You know, she believed that, you know, she believed in Jesus Christ. She believed Christ was her Savior. You know, she had accepted Christ as her personal Savior. But she really recognized that God could show up through anyone, in anyone, at any place, at any time, through a dog, a cat. She just felt like God was in every living thing.
You know, one of the things I usually say, too, is that God is larger than any interpretation. And even in Sunday school, they told us that God was infinite. And
yeah.
I would say that no one would want to put God in a box.
Yeah.
But a book, that's a different story.
Yes, yes. Very, very similar.
Very similar. I know.
Yes.
And I think the problem is it's not that we have a revelation of God that we've recorded in any sacred document from the culture or the heritage. Is that when we start getting into exclusivity and superiority, that becomes a problem. Let's see what's one of our callers on the line. We've got a caller from area code 907. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Have you been listening? Would you like to add anything to our being true to the kingdom of God in you?
Well, I just came in on part of the conversation. I unfortunately wasn't able to be here right on time, but from what I can gather so far, I would sum it up to this, as I told a lot of my friends when we get into the topic of religion, and they ask me if I'm a Christian. I said, at the end of the day, whether it be Buddha or Allah, whatever the case is, it's only you and your God and your relationship that matters.
Yes.
I can't stand in the judgment of what your relationship is because it's all defined at the end, how we relate to who we're serving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as long as you know who you are and whose you are, that will carry you towards the end.
I think one of the things that you're adding to is that if someone is a Buddhist or if they're Hindu or if they're Muslim, they're Jewish or they're Yoruba or any other African tradition or they're and maybe they're Native American, they called God Great Spirit. If you look at German language, Mein Gott, which means, you know, God. And so we have religions all across the entire world. And the key to it that I have found that's useful is for us to be true to who we are spiritually, culturally, and in our sacred tradition.
Yes.
So have you ever heard in the Yoruba language, do you all have anything regarding the law of sowing and reaping or karma or things like that?
Absolutely, and in the Ifa tradition, we actually have sacred holy scriptures that, again, have been around 6,000 years, and, you know, a lot of them we lost during the enslavement of African people. A lot of our holy papers were destroyed, not just in Africa, but in Kemet in Egypt and other places around the world, along with the shrines and the sacred places. But in the our scriptural reference is called the Odu Ifa, O-D-U, Ifa, sometimes called Olodu Ifa. And in many of those scriptures, you find correlations to what we read in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I think, Reverend Carl, when you and I were talking, we had actually reviewed some of those scriptures, and we talked about, you know, reaping what you sow. In the Odu Agbe, or Eje Agbe, in the Ifa tradition, which is a scriptural reference again, it talks about good character, this thing called Iwa Poile. It talks about the importance of having good character. And it talks about how when you move in the world with good character, that even if you have money, if you have social status, if you have a billion wives or whatever it is, that none of it matters if you don't have good character. So this is directly related to you shall reap what you sow. And good character is not just defined as, you know, giving 15 cents, you are overpaid 15 cents. Mm-hmm. But what Ifa's talking about is how you treat people every day.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about the Christian faith, and one of the things that was really difficult for me as a Christian in my walk, and you and I have talked about this, was that I would see folk who were, as you call them, you know, Sunday Christians. And, you know, they would go to church on Sunday and be wonderful and perfect. And then when they would see somebody outside who, you know, maybe was having struggle in their walk, who had fallen back into behaviors that were harmful to them and the people that they love, you know, they wanted to shun them. They wanted to look down. And that really bothered me. It's like, how you going to say, you know, you're for God? And, you know, because God, Jesus' work was always about touching the people that, you know, were having the roughest time. Jesus could always see the raw potential in people.
Yes.
And so, you know, that was, but then, you know, through you, I've been able to see that and others like you who are walking to me in a real Christ consciousness, I've been able to see people that are Christian that are now walking in that. And, you know, and like when I heard you preach on that ship, it was just like, oh, my God, you know, and you were telling your story.
Yes.
And it was like, wow. I was like, you know, it was just really, to me, it was overwhelming. You know, it was like maybe I made a abrupt decision, you know, and I had to rethink this. And it took me some years to get to a place because I had done so much healing. You know, I was able to do so much healing in my own walk. And so now, you know, I'm learning about a different kind of Christian and a different kind of Christianity. So, but yes, in answer to your question, the scriptures of Ifa absolutely talk about, you know, having good character, talk about the way that you live, the way that you treat people, talks about not being egotistical. I talked about Agbe. There are some 1,600 scriptures that we know of in the Ifa tradition, but there are thousands and thousands that were lost during the Maafa, or the enslavement of African people. But, you know, you can Google it, you can go online, and many ministers are beginning to research. And I think like Dr. Michael Beckwith, he calls it ancient wisdom, new thought. You know, he's still vibrating on the ancient wisdom of teachings in the Bible, but he also embraces some of the new thought teachings as well. So it's there, and it's out there, and it is of value to us. You know, I think there's a place for all of it in our life, and I don't think that it's going to interfere with one's salvation. I have people in my temple who go to church.
Yes.
And some people in the Ifa community, they might be listening, they look down on that.
Uh-huh.
But I felt that if anything that helps a person in this world, if it's going to make you a better person, do it.
All right, all right. I totally agree with that. It's almost oftentimes some people they tend to push people away because they of the exclusivity or saying that if you're a Christian then you only could go to Christian churches. You shouldn't associate with other people and so forth. But in our global neighborhoods, that's what I call them now, because you're going to meet people of all different faith-based religions. I mean, even in Christianity, they have divisions and denominations, and even the word denominate or the denominator, we always knew, we learned that in fourth grade, it was the divisor.
Wow, that's
so
true.
Yeah, that's the denomination. So,
I'm just
opening up the conversation to say that, you know, we have to look beyond what has been quite traditional and being able to embrace people for where they are and for who they are. And we look at this one thing of it's oftentimes they'll put you on a guilt trip, or if you don't follow what they say is right, or if something wrong in your life has happened, and they just tell you, well, baby, you just pray right and you pay right and you'll stay right.
Ooh, no, you did. You went there.
And unfortunately, it doesn't always work like that. We have another caller on the line, a caller from 586. Are you there? Are you on the line, caller, from a 586 number? Well, maybe they just want to listen. I understand. We are at a point now. We're saying that one of the things that oftentimes that that Jesus used when he was teaching was parables. And he told the law of sowing and reaping. He used that because they were very agricultural cultures during the first century Palestine and during the writing of the New Testament and the latter days of the Hebrew nation when the Bibles were written. And he told a secret, and the secret was that the sower had sowed some seeds, and some fell on stony ground, and the sun burned them up because they had no root and they withered, and some fell by the wayside, and birds came and ate them up. And then some fell among the thorns, and they grew, and they got choked, so they didn't produce any fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and they yielded fruit, and some of them 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And this is in Mark chapter 4. And when he was alone with those in his inner circle, his disciples, and they said, well, what does that mean? I mean, why would you tell us that parable in front of everybody? And he says, well, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. And that now, since we have the book and we have the story, then it's unto everybody to know the mystery of the kingdom.
Mm.
And because during that verse he says, you know, some see and they see and they don't perceive, and hearing they may not hear and they don't understand unless they be converted and their sins be forgiven. But nowadays we all have the biblical record and the body of knowledge in our religious faith tradition, whatever it may be, to seek and know the truth. And so he goes on to explain what the seeds were. The seeds were that the word is sown, but some have heard it, and immediately the enemy come and took the word out of their hearts. Those are the seeds that fell by the wayside, because you can preach and you can say things, and immediately someone takes that word. And then they also sowed seeds that fell on stony ground. And those that heard the word, and immediately they receive it with gladness. They receive the word, but they have no root in themselves. And so they endure for a little time, but then afterwards they have some affliction or something happens traumatic. And for the word, they're offended, you know, because it didn't work. And I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to believe that. And so these are the ones that are thrown among the thorns, that they hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, they choke the word and becomes unfruitful. And then they have those that the word fell on good ground, their people. And they said they hear the word, they receive it, and it brings forth fruit. And some 30, some 60, and some 100. But the key to it, that even the seeds that fell among good ground, they were having varying results. And one of the things is that we have to be able to know that if we have something that is a connection to God, then we ought to show some sign. And and so the fruit of the Spirit, which, you know, brings all the religions back together, is in Galatians 5, and it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long suffering, is gentleness, is goodness, is faith, is meekness and temperance. Now, how does love and joy and peace relate into your culture or to the religions of the Yoruba?
Well, I mean, so much of it is centered around love, though I feel that there are some in the religion, like in any other religion, who have put their own stuff in it.
Yes.
Who have, you know, put their own interpretations on it, mm-hmm. for, you know, selfish motives, for motives that are based in power and patriarchy. And so those of us who are, you know, bringing truth, you know, do our best to, you know, to restore the authenticity to the vision that God had for our various faiths. And I really want to know that scripture in Micah. Later on, I'm going to have to call for another session because I want to know that scripture in Micah that recognized that, you know, people all over the world would embrace God in different ways, but it's still the same God.
Yeah,
it's
Micah
still the same God image. Okay, Micah 4.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's
4,
yeah.
4.
Yeah, that's in the Old Testament.
But I would say in Ifa, they have a scripture called Oshe, O-S-E, Oshe Meiji, and Meiji just means two or twice.
Yes.
And it's a particular time, you know, in the Ifa tradition and in most of the ancestral faiths, they have oracles, which are, you know, divinatory tools that they use to connect. Just like you see some people wear a cross, some people use holy water, you know, some people use holy oil. They call it blessed oil or a blessed cloth.
Yes.
You know, these are ritual items to the Christian faith.
Yes.
And it's the same thing in African spirituality. They have ritual items that are holy and that are sacred to them. And one of them is their divinatory oracles, which they use and they cast and, you know, they're able to see. Because we were seers. We've been seers. You know, even talks about that in the Bible where people would be able to see and know things, you know, it prophesies that our youth would prophesy, you know.
Yes.
So it talks about that. But anyway, that in this scriptural shape, I was listening to the scripture that you just read, and it talks about the ashe or the blessing, the gifts that are in our veins, that are in our spirit, that we're born with, like you were clearly born with the gift of ministry, you know, and ministering. You know, that's something you were born without. I'm a poet.
Right.
You know, God gave me the gift, you know, through my mother and father, you know, the gift of, you know, being a poet, being, you know, being an orator, speaking. And so, you know, in Oshe Meiji, it talks about that and that how important it is for either all of us to tap into that, you know, to those seeds that are that drop, to be able to pour the proper water on them and to be able to cultivate those seeds and nurture those seeds in a way that will make them productive within us. In fact, the whole Ifa tradition is really about zeroing in to your divine purpose in life. That's Ifa's main objective, is to help its followers get on their divine path and do the work that God put them here to do. In the Ifa tradition, they believe that when you were a soul in heaven, so they do believe in heaven, they call it Orun. In Yoruba, heaven is called Orun, O-R-U-N, that when you were a soul in heaven, that you made a promise to God, that you whispered into the ear of God about the work that you would do if he allowed you to occupy a body, to become a living being.
Wow.
So, okay, and so what happens is a lot of times when we're born into dysfunction, we're born, you know, all kind of ways. Everybody's not born into a perfect life.
Oh, without a doubt, right.
And so that takes you off your path from doing your, and then it's all types of temptations, which, you know, we talk about biblically in the Bible. We talk, you know, the same type of temptations I talked about in the Ifa tradition. You know, whether it's drinking, whether it's, you know, adultery, because, you know, an Ifa tradition frowns against adultery as well, infidelity, you know, the overuse of, you know, any type of illegal substance, of doing crime. You know, the Ifa tradition talks about all of that.
Yes, yes.
It is
quite similar, in fact.
It is. It really, really is.
Yeah, they're just basic laws of community. Even if you look look at the Ten Commandments, the first two just reverence God and how we're supposed to reverence God, but the others are basic understanding of how to live in community. And Christ didn't have to go to Calvary, or nor did Moses have to go to the mountain to get that, that you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't cheat, you shouldn't covet your neighbor's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just basic understandings.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things, you know, that we often talk about is in the beginning and how things begin. And if we look at the Bible and the way that it opened up, in chapters 1 and 2, there's two different accounts of creation. But the whole creative act of God is a celebration of the many.
Even of the what?
The many.
Okay, I say.
Yeah, out of the formless void, it assumes many forms. Sun, moon, stars, plants, trees, fishes, and animals. And every act of creation was followed by the refrain, and God saw it was good. Now, according to Dr. Sankaraj, that is a celebration of plurality. Okay? And then on top of that, after God created all that stuff and all these people and all this thing, he said, now, be fruitful and multiply. See, God is not content with the number that God created, and God wants many more. And so God gave us the act. In fact, there's another concept called the imago Dei. That's where the image of God in you.
Okay.
And we're called that creative act of fostering of plurality. And in fact, in Genesis 1:27, it says that God created human in God's image, male and female. God created them. God builds right into the creation of humanity the celebration of plurality and the difference by creating male and female. And the only thing that God disliked was Genesis 2:18. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. So we are meant to be in celebration of plurality. There's another story in there, the Tower of Babel, that God actually destroyed because of sameness. In Genesis 11:1, it says that the whole earth was filled with one language and the same words. But in the story of Babel, God is not pleased with one language, and one language formula leads to human pride and rebellion. So it's not crystal clear that God loves a plurality of languages, even at the expense of not really understanding each other. He allows all of this plurality to foster. And that's the key to it, is knowing that God has allowed us all to be around. And yet and still, the divine purpose, as you were saying about in the Yoruba tradition, the divine purpose in life is exactly what God has ordained for us to do. Now tell me, with regard to being truthful and how we being true to the God in us and others. What would you have to add to that? Is being truthful something that's necessary to know the God in you and connect with that God?
I believe it is, Reverend White. I believe it is. I think that self-honesty, knowing, you know, and I think the brother who came on, the caller who came on, really said it. You know, in terms of at the end of the night when nobody else is around, you know, your relationship with God, your personal relationship with God is what is going to carry you.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing the walk that you've walked and how you've treated people, you know, throughout that day, you know, how you've carried yourself, you know, whatever path you're walking, whatever your spiritual faith is. And just, you know, something that I had to learn, because I remember when I first started to study African spirituality, I went on this kick, and I thought that it was the true religion, and that if you wanted to be a down black person, if you were a real black, you know, whatever that means, if you were authentically black, that you had to embrace a traditional African religion.
Right.
And now, and you know, I say, you know, thank you, God, for my own awakening. Because what I know now is it's about, like you said, the kingdom of God in you.
Yes.
Your relationship with God. And you said something a while back early in the show that when you are truly walking that walk with God, people can see it on you. You know, they can see how they can see your life. They see how you're carrying yourself. They see your joy a block away. They can see your life. They can see the life that you're walking in. And I also wanted to tell you, you spoke of the movie Sankofa.
Yes.
And your very first show, the star of that movie was actually on the call.
Wow.
She was actually a listener in the show. That's right. Ia Oyefemike Ogunlano, who is an amazing actress. And sister who plays Shola, if you remember Shola in the movie Sankofa.
Yes. Yes.
And she is one of the Yoruba priestesses that embraces various aspects of the Christian faith. And she'll tell you in a minute, honey, you know what? You know, I know Jesus too. You know, she will tell you.
And how about this? Do you all have anything about the golden rule, like do unto others as you would have them do unto you?
Absolutely. There is a code of conduct very similar to the Ten Commandments, and it talks about there's various aspects with it, you know, like a priest should not sleep with the wife or husband of another priest. That, you know, it tells you about not gossiping. It tells you about not being egotistical, not flaunting your knowledge or your ability. So there are various ways that you must walk. When you call, just like any other minister, when you are a priest in my tradition, or what they call an aberisha, a student in my tradition.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just about there for where you need to be.
Yes, sir. I'm very close, and I'm going to have to leave just a little early to do the sound check and that type thing.
Absolutely,
but
we so appreciate you joining us and being with us. But
so
I just
honored.
Wanted to share a couple other things with you before you leave. Is that the golden rule is found in almost all sacred writings. In the Baha'i, it says, choose for that neighbor what you choose for yourself. In Buddhism, it says, hurt not others in the way that you yourself would find hurtful. In Christianity, it says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, also do to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In Confucianism, is there one maxim that ought to be acted upon through one's whole life? Surely it is the maxim of loving kindness. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. In Greek philosophy, treat your friends as you would want them to treat you. In Hinduism, men gifted with intelligence and purified souls should always treat others
down and eat. Did somebody tell you to take
as
your clothes off?
Wish to be treated. And it goes on, in Islam, not one of you is a believer
until he
loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And it goes on, in Judaism, do not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people. Rather, love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. And it goes on. And I just really celebrate you for willing to be so open and sharing with us tonight. And I say, I shade to you in your performance tonight. So you go on in there with the love
Thank
of God
you, brother.
And the excellency of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit and move in the way that God makes for you to move.
I receive that, and thank you. I just want to give honor and praise and to God and just give thanks for you. I gave you the title of Baba, honorary Baba, and that is a big deal in the Ifa tradition because there is, you know, many, many, you know, tens and twenties of years that one must study to earn that title. But they don't know your whole story. One day when you put your book out, they're going to know your whole story about what you really had to walk through to be where you are. And they'll understand why I crowned you with that title. And I just thank you, Baba. And God bless you. And I look forward to being a part of many more radio shows.
All right, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Okay. You're listening to Can We Be Real? And we're on the air at blogtalkradio.com/help somebody. And in addition, we've got a caller. Looks like we've got a caller on here from the 206 area code. Are you there, caller?
Good evening.
Good evening. How you doing up there?
We're doing fine up here in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Have you been listening to the conversation tonight?
Yes, I did. Yes, I was listening to the conversation.
Did you find anything interesting, or would you like to make a comment about it?
It was one comment that I would like to make is there's a saying that a lot of times that we go to church out of fear. They scare us into going to church because they tell you that if you don't go to church, then you're going to go to hell.
Mm.
So a lot of people say, I want to do what's right, so
yes.
I better go to church so I won't go to hell. But just like you were saying, we need to start going so that we can learn and learn how to respect each other, to treat each other. I'm supposed to be kind to my fellow church member, to my neighbor, to help those. You know, I was in the grocery store, and a young lady come running up to me as I walked in, and she says, do you have 50 cents? I'm short on my groceries.
Yes.
And I looked, and I didn't have any change, and I just had a $5 bill, and I gave her the $5 bill. And she was just so elated, and she just thank you.
Yes.
You know, so we have to look out, and we have to help each other.
Yes, yes. So that is so wonderful, and do unto others as it would have them to do unto you. We do thank you for your caller, and we have another caller from up in 907. Did you have anything you wanted to add before we get off the air tonight?
Oh, just real quick, my brother. The one thing I took out of this whole session, real quick, as brief as it was, is do not box yourself in.
Yes.
Don't live in the box. Come out of the box so you can experience what everybody else is going through.
Yes.
If you live in your own little tent, now granted, you got to take care of your own backyard before you can go ahead and start fixing somebody else, but try to get out of your own little circle there so you can see what the rest of the world is doing.
Yeah.
So then
yes,
you'll be a
yes.
better evangelist and better minister so you can relate on all levels.
And there's no one right way to serve God because oftentimes I've met people who commit the sin of bibliolatry. Bibliolatry. That's where we make an idol out of the Bible. And we serve the book more than whom the book speaks of.
Uh-huh.
See? And so that's one of the things is that if we are open to see the move of God, to hear the move of God, then we won't be boxed in, as you say, that allows us to see other interpretations of God and to treat others as the way we want to be treated. The two commandments that Jesus gave us was to love God and to love your neighbor as what?
As yourself.
As yourself, yeah. So it
yeah,
takes in consideration that we love ourselves, and I think it's so necessary that if we had to sum up the Bible in one word, if you had to sum up both the Old Testament and the New Testament in one word, what would your word be?
Love.
Yeah, mine too. And that's amazing. And so for God so loved that God gave, and I think that if we just get into knowing that who God is in us, then we don't have to put other people down in order to make ourselves feel up or big or we need to recognize the God in us and be true to that God in you. Because if you have an opportunity to get to know that God, it's enough of a relationship that you will have a transformation in this life. One of the things that I learned, and I'm not sure if you'd agree with this, but Dr. John Kinney of Virginia Union Theological Seminary at the Samuel D. Witt Proctor School of Theology, Virginia Union University. He says, never invite anyone to join a superior religion. Because no one has all the answers. And no human system of interpretation is large enough to contain all of God. And
because
so,
everybody has a different definition or interpretation of the word.
Yes.
If I read something, I'll get something out of it just for me, and you'll read and get it something just for you, but it's not the same thing. But
yes.
The path always leads to the same.
And that's the wonderful thing. One of the classes that I had in seminary was a class on Howard Thurman. And Howard Thurman was a mystic of sorts. He was a genius in another sorts. He was also known as the spiritual counselor to the civil rights march and era. He wrote a book that I would highly recommend. It's called Jesus and the Disinherited, written by Howard Thurman. And this book was one major text. It was one of the three things that Dr. Martin Luther King carried with him at all times, which was this text, Jesus and the Disinherited, and the Bible, and the United States Constitution. So those are the three things that Dr. King always carried with him. But Dr. Howard Thurman, he spoke about the mystery of God, the great mysterium, the greatness of God that can't be explained, the side of God that often shows up when you get in trouble and trauma and pain and suffering and when we have hard questions like, why would God allow good people to suffer? And so Howard Thurman then, he spoke to us for how to interpret these things and how to deal with some of the mysterium of God, because it's getting beyond superficial relationships that we come to understand the fullness of God in the revelation of God. And oftentimes it's through the pain and suffering that we get to see a side of God that we would not see if everything was going well. And so that side of God is learning the mercy of God and the grace of God. As Richard Smallwood said, those twins called grace and mercy. It's the grace that he gave me something that I could not deserve. And the mercy was that he gave me, he did not give me what I did deserve. And so that's where we get that scripture from. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. And so Howard Thurman says this, and he'd make this at different graduation celebrations, and he would say, there is something in every one of you that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself. It is the only true guide you will ever have. And if you cannot hear it, you will all of your life spin your days on the ends of strings that somebody else pulls. And so the class that I was in was being taught by Dr. Luther Smith over at Candler School of Theology. And Dr. Smith, he put it this way, because of the tendency towards making Christianity superior. And he says, for Christians, Jesus is the door to God. And there may be other doors to God for other faith beliefs. But no matter what door they go through, they're still going to see Jesus. And you have been listening to Reverend Carl White. I'm here online at blogtalkradio.com. Help somebody, and visit our website. It's helpsomebody.net, or follow me on Twitter at helpsomebody, HELPSOMEBODY. I thank you for listening. I thank you for calling in. I thank you for participating. God bless you and God keep you, and I'll remain the same until we meet again. Thank you.
not yet.